Hello, this is the LifeSpring Family Bible. I'm so glad you chose to be with us today. My name is Steve Webb. I'm your host, and this is episode number 185. Today, we'll begin the book of Ezra in the Old Testament, starting with chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, in order to fulfill the Lord's message spoken through Jeremiah, the Lord stirred the mind of King Cyrus of Persia. He disseminated a proclamation throughout his entire kingdom, announcing in a written edict the following. Thus says King Cyrus of Persia, "The Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has instructed me to build a temple for him in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Anyone from his people among you, may his God be with him, may go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and may build the temple of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. Anyone who survives in any of those places where he is a resident foreigner must be helped by his neighbors with silver, gold, equipment, and animals, along with voluntary offerings for the temple of God, which is in Jerusalem." Then the leaders of Judah and Benjamin, along with the priests and the Levites, all those whose mind God had stirred, got ready to go up in order to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. All their neighbors assisted them with silver utensils, gold, equipment, animals, and expensive gifts, not to mention all the voluntary offerings. Then King Cyrus brought out the vessels of the Lord's temple, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought from Jerusalem and had displayed in the temple of his gods. King Cyrus of Persia entrusted them to Mithridath, the treasurer, who counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the leader of the Judahite exiles. The inventory of these items was as follows. 30 gold basins, 1,000 silver basins, 29 silver utensils, 30 gold bowls, 410 other silver bowls, and 1,000 other vessels. All these gold and silver vessels totaled 5,400. Sheshbazzar brought them all along when the captives were brought up from Babylon to Jerusalem. Ezra chapter 2. These are the people of the province who were going up from the captives of the exile whom King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had forced into exile in Babylon. They returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his own city. They came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Reaaliah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispar, Bigvai, Rehum, and Beana. The number of Israelites was as follows. The descendants of Parosh, 2,172. The descendants of Shephatiah, 372. The descendants of Era, 775. The descendants of Pahath Moab, from the line of Jeshua and Joab, 2,812. The descendants of Elam, 1,254. The descendants of Zattu, 945. The descendants of Zakkai, 760. The descendants of Bani, 642. The descendants of Bebai, 623. The descendants of Azgad, 1,222. The descendants of Adonikam, 666. The descendants of Bigvai, 2,056. The descendants of Adon, 454. The descendants of Atur, through Hezekiah, 98. The descendants of Bazai, 323. The descendants of Jorah, 112. The descendants of Hashum, 223. The descendants of Gibar, 95. The men of Bethlehem, 123. The men of Netophah, 56. The men of Anathoth, 128. The men of the family of Azmaveth, 42. The men of Kiriath Jearim, Kephira and Beeroth, 743. The men of Ramah and Geba, 621. The men of Michmash, 122. The men of Bethel and Ai, 223. The descendants of Nebo, 52. The descendants of Magbish, 156. The descendants of the other Elam, 1,254. The descendants of Harim, 320. The men of Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 725. The men of Jericho, 345. The descendants of Saneah, 3,630. The priests, the descendants of Jedaiah through the family of Jeshua, 973. The descendants of Immer, 1,052. The descendants of Pashur, 1,247. The descendants of Harim, 1,017. The Levites, the descendants of Jeshua and Kadmiel, through the line of Hodaviah, 74. The singers, the descendants of Asaph, 128. the gatekeepers, the descendants of Shallum, the descendants of Ater, the descendants of Talmon, the descendants of Akub, the descendants of Hattita, and the descendants of Shobai, 139. The temple servants, the descendants of Ziha, the descendants of Hasufa, the descendants of Tabaoth, the descendants of Keros, the descendants of Saeha, the descendants of Paddan, the descendants of Labana, the descendants of Hagaba, the descendants of Akub, the descendants of Hagab, the descendants of Shalmai, the descendants of Hanan, the descendants of Gidel, the descendants of Gehar, the descendants of Reiah, the descendants of Rezin, the descendants of Nakoda, the descendants of Gazam, the descendants of Uzza, the descendants of Pasea, the descendants of Basai, the descendants of Asna, the descendants of Meunam, the descendants of Nafusim, the descendants of Bakbuk, the descendants of Hakufa, the descendants of Harhur, the descendants of Bazlu, the descendants of Mahida, the descendants of Harsha, the descendants of Barkos, the descendants of Sisera, the descendants of Tema, the descendants of Nazia, and the descendants of Hatifa, the descendants of the servants of Solomon, the descendants of Sotai, the descendants of Hasophereth, the descendants of Peruda, the descendants of Jeala, the descendants of Darkon, the descendants of Gidel, the descendants of Shephatiah, the descendants of Hatil, the descendants of Pokereth-Hazabim, and the descendants of Ammi. All the temple servants and the descendants of the servants of Solomon, 392. These are the ones that came up from Telmela, Telharsha, Kerub, Adon, and Immer, although they were unable to certify their family connection or their ancestry as to whether they were really from Israel. The descendants of Delaiah, the descendants of Tobiah, and the descendants of Nakoda, 652. And from among the priests, the descendants of Hobaiah, the descendants of Hakoz, and the descendants of Barzillai, who had taken a wife from the daughters of Barzillai the Gileadite, and was called by that name. They searched for their records in the genealogical materials, but did not find them. They were therefore excluded from the priesthood. The governor instructed them not to eat any of the sacred food until there was a priest who could consult the Urim and Thummim. The entire group numbered 42,360, not counting their male and female servants, who numbered 7,337. They also had 200 male and female singers and 736 horses, 245 mules, 435 camels, and 6,720 donkeys. When they came to the Lord's temple in Jerusalem, some of the family leaders offered voluntary offerings for the temple of God in order to rebuild it on its site. As they were able, they gave to the treasury for this work 61,000 drachmas of gold, 5,000 minas of silver, and 1,000 priestly robes. The priests, the Levites, some of the people, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the temple servants lived in their towns, and all the rest of Israel lived in their towns. Ezra chapter 3. When the seventh month arrived and the Israelites were living in their towns, the people assembled in Jerusalem. Then Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his family colleagues, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his colleagues, started to build the altar of the God of Israel, so they could offer burnt offerings on it as required by the law of Moses, the man of God. They established the altar on its foundations, even though they were in terror of the local peoples, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and the evening offerings. They observed the festival of temporary shelters as required and offered the proper number of daily burnt offerings according to the requirement for each day. Afterward, they offered the continual burnt offerings and those for the new moons and those for all the holy assemblies of the Lord and all those that were being voluntarily offered to the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. However, the Lord's temple was not at that time established. So they provided money for the masons and carpenters and food, beverages, and olive oil for the people of Sidon and Tyre, so that they could bring cedar timber from Lebanon to the seaport at Joppa in accord with the edict of King Cyrus of Persia. In the second year after they had come to the temple of God in Jerusalem, in the second month, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, initiated the work along with the rest of their associates, the priests and the Levites, and all those who were coming to Jerusalem from the exile. They appointed the Levites who were at least 20 years old to take charge of the work on the Lord's temple. So Jeshua appointed both his sons and his relatives, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Yehuda, to take charge of the workers in the temple of God, along with the sons of Henadad, their sons, and their relatives, the Levites. When the builders established the Lord's temple, the priests, ceremonially attired and with their clarions, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with their cymbals, stood to praise the Lord according to the instructions left by King David of Israel. With antiphonal response, they sang, praising and glorifying the Lord. For he is good. His loyal love toward Israel is forever. All the people gave a loud shout as they praised the Lord when the temple of the Lord was established. Many of the priests, the Levites, and the leaders, older people who had seen with their own eyes the former temple while it was still established, were weeping loudly, and many others raised their voice in a joyous shout. People were unable to tell the difference between the sound of joyous shouting and the sound of the people's weeping, for the people were shouting so loudly that the sound was heard a long way off. Ezra chapter 4. When the enemies of Judah and Benjamin learned that the former exiles were building a temple for the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and the leaders and said to them, "Let us help you build, for like you we seek your God, and we have been sacrificing to him from the time of King Esarhaddon of Assyria, who brought us here." But Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and the rest of the leaders of Israel said to them, "You have no right to help us build the temple of our God. We will build it by ourselves for the Lord God of Israel, just as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us." Then the local people began to discourage the people of Judah and to dishearten them from building. They were hiring advisors to oppose them so as to frustrate their plans throughout the time of King Cyrus of Persia until the reign of King Darius of Persia. At the beginning of the reign of Ahasuerus, they filed an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. And during the reign of Artaxerxes, Bishlam, Mithridath, Tabeel, and the rest of their colleagues wrote to King Artaxerxes of Persia. The letter was first written in Aramaic, but then translated. Aramaic. Rehum the commander and Shimshai the scribe wrote a letter concerning Jerusalem to King Artaxerxes as follows. From Rehum the commander, Shimshai the scribe, and the rest of their colleagues, the judges, the rulers, the officials, the secretaries, the Erechites, the Babylonians, the people of Susa, that is, the Elamites, and the rest of the nations whom the great and noble Ashurbanipal deported and settled in the cities of Samaria and other places in Trans-Euphrates. This is the copy of the letter they sent to him. To King Artaxerxes, from your servants in Trans-Euphrates, now let the king be aware that the Jews who came up to us from you have gone to Jerusalem. They are rebuilding that rebellious and odious city. They are completing its walls and repairing its foundations. Let the king also be aware that if this city is built and its walls are completed, no more tax, custom, or toll will be paid, and the royal treasury will suffer loss. In light of the fact that we are loyal to the king, and since it does not seem appropriate to us that the king should sustain damage, we are sending the king this information so that he may initiate a search of the records of his predecessors and discover in those records that this city is rebellious and injurious to both kings and provinces, producing internal revolts from long ago. It is for this very reason that this city was destroyed. We therefore are informing the king that if this city is rebuilt and its walls are completed, you will not retain control of this portion of Trans-Euphrates. The king sent the following response. To Rehum the commander, Shimshai the scribe, and the rest of their colleagues who live in Samaria and other parts of Trans-Euphrates, greetings. The letter you sent to us has been translated and read in my presence, so I gave orders, and it was determined that this city from long ago has been engaging in insurrection against kings. It has continually engaged in rebellion and revolt. Powerful kings have been over Jerusalem who ruled throughout the entire Trans-Euphrates and who were the beneficiaries of tribute, custom, and toll. Now give orders that these men cease their work and that this city not be rebuilt until such time as I so instruct. Exercise appropriate caution so there is no negligence in this matter. Why should danger increase to the point that kings sustain damage? Then, as soon as the copy of the letter from King Artaxerxes was read in the presence of Rehum, Shimshai the scribe, and their colleagues, they proceeded promptly to the Jews in Jerusalem and stopped them with threat of armed force. So the work on the temple of God in Jerusalem came to a halt. It remained halted until the second year of the reign of King Darius of Persia. Well, imagine how after such a great celebration at the beginning of the rebuilding of the temple, well, what a great disappointment that must have been to the people of God. They had such a wonderful celebration when the rebuilding began, and then to be told that they had to stop must have been quite a blow. So what happens next? Come on back tomorrow and find out. Thanks so much for being with me today. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. May God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb.